This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Did you know that right now, GEICO is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's 15% on top of what GEICO could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit GEICO.com to learn more.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Trump targets China. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Rasa Kay, who's in for Jennifer Koshenka, on this Friday, August 7th. Thanks for joining us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
In a move likely to increase tensions with Beijing, President Trump has issued executive orders that take aim at the Chinese-owned apps TikTok and WeChat.
Negotiators on Capitol Hill still can't reach agreement on more coronavirus aid. Meanwhile, today's a White House deadline for walking away from talks.
The attorneys general in New York and Washington, D.C. are suing the National Rifle Association, trying to dissolve the gun rights group.
And why some Americans are still waiting for their stimulus checks.
The biggest reason is the IRS has just been totally swamped. Their offices were closed down a long time. Now they're back, but they're on these, you know, different staffing schedules. But there are lots of folks who are still waiting, waiting for their check that they deserve.
Man, Andy Keshner at MarketWatch on what to do if you still haven't received a stimulus check. The White House deadline for reaching an agreement on a new coronavirus relief bill is today, and talks have failed again. Negotiations ended late yesterday. White House officials say Democrats were unwilling to compromise, and Democrats counter that the White House refuses to recognize the severity of the country's economic and health crisis. Senate Republicans support a $1 trillion package. House Democrats have already passed a measure totaling $3.5 trillion. Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer.
We're very disappointed in the meeting, but we urge our Republican colleagues to come back and continue to negotiate.
Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin.
We're not going to just keep on coming back every day if we can't get to a deal.
White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows said the priority remains reaching a broad deal, but President Trump is open to a narrower one. One sticking point, how much to continue paying in unemployment benefits. A $600 per week program ended last Friday. Another shot fired at Beijing. President Trump has issued a pair of executive orders that would impose limits on the Chinese social media apps WeChat and TikTok. The orders bar people in the U.S. from transaction with the China-based owners of both apps, effective in 45 days. More from this morning's Mike Gavin.
WeChat is used for things like messaging and mobile payments and has more than 1.2 billion users in mainland China and elsewhere. Shares of Tencent, the parent company of WeChat, tumbled as much as 10% earlier today after the news. Tencent shares had been trading near a record high, up 48% recently. The concern over TikTok is that Americans' data could be shared with Chinese authorities, who deny the claim. Microsoft is in a race to purchase the U.S. operations of TikTok from parent company ByteDance. Gordon.
Thanks, Mike. The executive order came hours after the Senate unanimously passed a bill prohibiting federal employees from using TikTok on government-issued devices, a U.S. national security concern. The House already passed a similar provision. Well, it's a coronavirus 180 for Ohio Governor Mike DeWine. His office now says he's tested negative for COVID-19, following an announcement earlier in the day that he had tested positive ahead of a scheduled meeting with President Trump in Cleveland. The new finding came after a second round of testing yesterday afternoon that's considered more sensitive. It was administered to Mr. DeWine. His wife and staff members all tested negative, and the tests were run twice.
I take an inhaler regularly in the morning at night, but it's under control, but it is there, sure. Really no other outstanding, nothing really.
The governor's office said this type of test has been administered more than 1.6 million times in Ohio by hospitals and labs throughout the state. Mr. DeWine and the First Lady will be tested again tomorrow. His office also said it would talk to the manufacturer of a test given earlier in the day understand why there had been a discrepancy. It's 11 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News.
Dell supports America's entrepreneurs during Small Business Month with all you need to office anywhere. Save up to 45% on computers and servers with Intel Core processors. Upgrade to new modern devices with Windows 10. Plus, save on top-brand tech while enjoying free shipping on everything. And special financing with Dell Business Credit. Call 877-ASK-DELL to talk to a Dell Technologies advisor who can help you find the tech that's just right. That's 877-ASK-DELL or visit Dell.com/small business deals.
Thanks for joining us. Welcome into Friday. With about half of U.S. states now requiring that masks be worn in public and most large retailers and grocery stores mandating them in their stores, masks are not just helping keep coronavirus at bay, they are providing a financial lifeline to many small businesses that might otherwise be looking into the abyss. It's a story by Jean Whalen, reporter at The Washington Post. Jean, what have you found?
Well, I found that a number of small manufacturers and small companies around the U.S., when the coronavirus lockdown started in March, their normal business orders dried up, and they realized they could switch some of their manufacturing lines to make masks instead. So these were companies that already had some expertise with sewing and working with fabrics, companies that normally made industrial goods made out of canvas, or companies that made bags or t-shirts. And they thought, well, there's a big need out there. Let's start cranking out some face masks. So they switched and partly to help out their communities and to help with the shortages, and also partly to try to keep some money coming in at a tough time.
How about, it's fascinating. You open the story with this company called Steel Canvas in the Boston area. And they were able to keep everybody fully employed and even added a couple of bodies during their switchover. Explain that.
That's right. Yeah. So it's a company that's been around for about 100 years, and they make it, it's kind of a little hard to explain what they normally make. There are these big canvas baskets that you might mostly know from like movie scenes where prisoners break out of the prison laundry. They'll hide in one of these baskets. They're baskets on wheels, and factories use them to stash all kinds of like tools or construction items. TV shows use them to stash wardrobe items. So they're used in a lot of industries. Well, that's their main business. When that shut down, they all of their orders dried up when the coronavirus lockdown happened. And so they thought, well, we know how to sew, and we've got these sewing machines. So they managed to keep everyone employed and not have to furlough anyone, which they had been considering for a while, by switching to masks. And it wasn't without some obstacles. They realized they had to buy some smaller sewing machines to make the masks, because the machines they had were kind of too big. Mm. They had a really hard time finding fabric and elastic for the earpieces during the lockdown. They had a hard time getting the sewing machines during the lockdown. They said one of their sewing machine providers agreed to bring up a couple of machines in his truck to their factory outside of Boston. But this guy wouldn't get out of his truck, wouldn't roll down the windows. He was just like, hey, take them off the back of the flatbed and let me get going here.
Wow.
And this was someone they had known for years and years. He was like a friend of theirs, but everyone was just so scared at that time.
That's something. So, we're speaking with Jean Whalen, business reporter at The Washington Post. She's got a good story entitled Struggling U.S. Manufacturers Pivot to One Product Where Sales Are Actually Booming, Masks. So for this company called Steel Canvas, they're making these masks. Are they as profitable as the baskets they were making or the other things they were manufacturing?
I mean, I think the answer to that is no. I didn't actually ask Steel Canvas whether the masks were as profitable for them. I did ask that of a different company that's mentioned in the article that makes masks on a kind of almost like a 3D printing machine. They have this kind of whiz-bang technology that forms a mask in one piece on a printer-knitter type machine. So there's no cutting and sewing. The machine just kind of spits out one fully formed mask.
Wow.
Made out of various synthetic materials. And it's an expensive way to produce things. This company normally uses it to make sweaters and scarves. And they like this form of production because it wastes very little material. It's kind of, very environmentally friendly, but it's expensive. So they have to charge a bit for these masks. They're made in the U.S. They're made in California. And they don't end up, as a result, making a lot of money off of the masks. They're not very profitable. But they said they like doing it. They feel like they're helping. It gives their employees something to do during this weird lockdown period. And it does also, they said, work as a marketing tool by getting people to come to their website and see the other clothing that they're selling. It's a clothing company called Ministry of Supply.
Thanks, Gene. Gene Whalen, business reporter at The Washington Post. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, here's Rasa Kay.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Rage is feeding protests over the explosion in Beirut that killed nearly 150 people, wounded at least 5,000, and destroyed the entire districts of the capital. Lebanese security forces have reportedly fired tear gas to disperse dozens of anti-government demonstrators who see the blast as the most shocking expression yet of their government's incompetence. Protesters started a fire, vandalized stores, and threw rubble at security forces on a ravaged street leading to Parliament.
Number two.
Top Democrats in the White House still stalled on an economic recovery plan. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
What is a negotiation about? It's not about who gets more what in the halls of Congress. It's about what it translates into the lives of the American people.
The Labor Department says new claims for unemployment benefits have exceeded 1 million a week for 20 straight weeks.
Number three.
Acting Homeland Security Secretary Chad Wolf defends his agency's response to the recent Portland, Oregon protests. Appearing before the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee, he blamed local officials for not cooperating.
Recognizing that there's peaceful protesting that is occurring in Portland, but also making sure that we hold those that are committing criminal acts, violent acts against courthouse and law enforcement officials, we're holding them accountable.
An oversight board has demoted Milwaukee Police Chief Alfonso Morales after questioning how he handled multiple incidents, including ordering officers to fire tear gas and pepper spray at protesters demonstrating over George Floyd's death. After a two-day visit to Fort Hood, Texas, Secretary of the Army Ryan McCarthy promises a broad review of the culture there to identify and fix the root causes that have led to the high number of violent acts at the base, such as the murder in April of specialist Vanessa Guillen.
We will do everything we can to protect her legacy by making enduring changes.
Guillen's family says she was sexually harassed by superiors at Fort Hood. A total of 66 players have opted out of the 2020 NFL season due to the coronavirus pandemic, nearly half of them linemen. The Patriots saw 8 players opt out, but at the Steelers, Falcons, and Chargers, not a single one. Players with a medical opt-out considered high risk get a $350,000 stipend, while those voluntarily opting out get $150,000 as an advance against future salaries.
All right. Thank you, Rasa. The T-shirt is a menswear staple. Unfortunately, the basic tee we love has its issues, right? Shrinkage, bacon neck, fading, and stretching, to name a few. But the modern take on the classic T-shirt from Cuts Clothing has completely changed the game. With their amazingly soft, custom-engineered Pika Pro fabric, Cuts T-shirts have an athletic, tailored-looking fit that's comfortable anywhere, from a day in the office to a night on the town and everything in between. I have to say, I love my Cuts T-shirts. I've worn them casually with shorts and sandals, but also under my suit jacket in more professional settings. They're one of the most comfortable, durable, and fashionably flexible shirts I've ever owned. Plus, they're pre-shrunk, wrinkle-free, and hold their shape over time, no matter what style you prefer. That's why Cuts is the only shirt worth wearing. Get 15% off your first order by going to cutsclothing.com/Gordon. That's cutsclothing.com/Gordon for 15% off the only shirt worth wearing. Again, cutsclothing.com/Gordon. Thanks for joining us. The Internal Revenue Service has distributed about 160 million economic impact payments, totaling $270 billion since April. But some Americans are still waiting for their stimulus check. How is this possible, and what can you do about it? We're joined now by Andrew Keschner, reporter at MarketWatch, who has some tips. Andy, first off, why are some people still without a check?
The biggest reason is the IRS has just been totally swamped. Their offices were closed down a long time. Now they're back, but they're on these different staffing schedules, and they're trying to churn out this backlog of paper refunds. And they're trying to, send out checks as well, but, maybe there are technical glitches on their side, but, there are lots of folks who are still waiting, waiting for their check that they deserve.
Man, that's incredible. I know this was a heavy lift in a short period of time for the IRS. But take us through the example of that one family from New Jersey that you spoke to.
So this guy, by all accounts, should have gotten his check. He's very much on the grid. He and his wife filed their tax returns in 18 or 19 and many years before that. But the tax returns are one way that the IRS finds out if you're eligible and where to send the money. The wife also gets Social Security. And so that's another way that the government finds out, where to send the money. Every time he looks up, get my payment, he says payment status not available, and either saying he's not eligible or we're still working on your response. I guess what really gets under his skin is, neither is right. They know about him and they know that he does qualify. So he at least just wants some straight information. He called the IRS. Someone on the phone said, not surprised to hear that you haven't gotten your check and there are delays. But the person said, call back in mid-October. Yeah.
He might get the second wave of stimulus checks before he gets the first wave check.
Seriously, when he heard the news about the second round of negotiations, as he told me, quote, my first reaction was, second what? What about the first? So this fellow, he admits he's okay. He's doing okay. He still has his job, even in all the tough economic conditions right now. But unfortunately, there are so many other people who aren't as fortunate, and for them, it's not just an inconvenience. It's a major, major problem. I talked to a lawyer down in Philadelphia, and there was one client who is skipping meals because they're still waiting on their check right now.
Ouch. Andy Keschner, reporter at MarketWatch. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business. But you don't have to take our word for it. Take Patty Poppes, president and CEO of Consumers Energy, instead.
All of the innovation that's occurring around robotics, AI, it's happening here in Michigan. We have chemical companies, we have pharmaceutical companies, we have medical device manufacturers. Michigan is a magnet for innovators and dreamers.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.
We are America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Friday, August 7. Gordon Deal with Rasa Kay, who's filling in for Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. President Trump issues an order barring U.S. transactions with TikTok and WeChat. Steel tariffs reimposed on Canada. Still no agreement on more coronavirus relief. New York Attorney General sues to dissolve the NRA. Los Angeles will cut off power and water to homes where parties occur without social distancing. Uber says bookings are off 75%. 9 states taking part in sales tax holidays beginning today, including Florida and Texas. And the California cop who brought Christmas to a family left homeless by a fire. That story in about 20 minutes. Well, airlines have lost the ability to extract as much money as possible from us travelers, and their pricing computers may stay confused for some time to come, since the pandemic is wrecking historical data about how to charge for a seat. More from Scott McCartney, travel columnist at the Wall Street Journal. Scott, what's going on?
Well, look at the art, the science of revenue management, and it's based largely on historical data. That's how airlines know what the demand is going to be for, say, the 2 p.m. flight to Cleveland on the third Thursday of October. Without accurate historical comparisons, they're blind. And that's where they are now. What's happening now has no relation to past history or demand. And it's interesting. This problem is going to last for a while going forward. The history of this year is going to, they hope, have no relation to what demand will be like in the future. So the huge investments they've made for decades in crunching vast amounts of data to figure out exactly who's going to go when, where, That's all out the window right now, and pricing is going to be different for years to come.
Well, so what does that mean for us as consumers?
You know, I think it gives us the upper hand in some ways. Certainly right now, there's so little demand, there's no pricing power. And so you see, you don't see bargain basement fire sale fares because airlines know that they're just not going to stimulate a whole lot of demand. If you're afraid of flying, you know, the $19 fare is not going to get you to fly instead of the $99 fare. But you do see plenty of $99 fares. There's just no way to take it higher. And I think that's going to continue for some time. When demand, you know, they hope demand starts coming back next year, but capacity is also going to come back in a big way. And I think the lack of business travel in the future really changes the whole pricing dynamic and really forces them to rethink their business models. So from all the pricing folks I talked to, they said, you know, if you're sitting on frequent flyer miles, there's going to be tons of availability in the future. And if you're looking for reasonably cheap fares, that's what you're going to find.
We're speaking with Scott McCartney, travel columnist at the Wall Street Journal. His piece is called "Coronavirus Has Upended Everything Airlines Know About Pricing." How about some of the pricing examples you found? Because it looked like the price you might pay for a flight 2 weeks from now is the same as next year during a high demand period and a low demand period.
Yeah, no, I think this was fascinating, and it really sort of illustrated how broken the pricing systems are right now. So I looked at some busy routes, New York to Los Angeles, for example, one of the busiest routes in the country. And you could find, looked at, you know, sort of a Friday-to-Friday trip, and looked in August and September, and it was pretty consistently, American, Delta, United, pretty consistently about $295. And that's round trip, and that's a good price for flying, you know, 3,000 miles each way across the country in planes that have really nice service now for that transcontinental route. So $295, and that stretched into October, and then you look at May and June next year, and that's when airlines think they're going to have, you know, the parties back on. They're going to have a lot of demand, and yet it was the same $295 price. And so basically there was just no sort of management of inventory or expectation that demand will allow them to charge a higher price in the future.
Think that the travel industry as a whole will pin down the pricing properly where they're making a profit, yet we still feel as passengers we're doing okay?
I think it's going to take them a while to see demand equal to or higher than supply.
Thanks, Scott. Scott McCartney, travel columnist at the Wall Street Journal, based in Dallas. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Let me tell you about my new favorite way to pass the time while commuting. It's the app called Blinkist. Blinkist works on your phone, your tablet, or your web browser. Blinkist takes the need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books and whittles it down to just 15 minutes. Successful people like business leaders are well known for reading self-improvement books. I just finished listening to Snowball, a Warren Buffett biography. Listen to Blinkist while commuting or maybe exercising, even while you're waiting for your kids to finish practice. Blinkist has the latest titles from bestseller lists as well as the classic nonfiction titles you always meant to read. I also like listening to some of the history titles since I never had much good history in school. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/morning to try it free for 7 days and save 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T. Blinkist.com/morning to start your free 7-day trial. You'll also save 25%, but only when you sign up at Blinkist.com/morning. Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome to Friday. It is time now for the Mic Drop with This Morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, we know that traveling is really tricky this summer, with many states and cities enacting quarantine orders for tourists. meaning that you'd spend your entire vacation locked away in a hotel room if you followed the protocol. That's proving especially difficult for visitors to Chicago, however, who are having trouble resisting one Windy City delicacy, deep dish pizza. Local TV reports that many Chicago tourists are foregoing the mandatory 14-day quarantine for visitors from the 22 states currently listed having a surge in COVID-19 cases in order to chow down on a super thick and saucy slice. Many claim they aren't aware of the restrictions or, because it's difficult to enforce, have chosen to ignore them. Grabbing a slice or two before quarantining could cost you, however, with rule breakers subject to between a $100 and $500 per day fine.
Ooh.
In that case, it might be best to opt for delivery.
ID? No, I don't have my ID on me. Yeah. No, I forgot. If you're going to do that, don't bother carrying ID.
Yeah, unfortunately, delivery on a deep dish pizza just doesn't have the same effect, I don't think.
Yeah.
It's a little soggy at that point.
Maybe. I've had. Have you had it?
Oh, yeah.
The Chicago deep dish?
Oh, yeah.
That's quality stuff.
Yeah, I never would have sort of understood the hoopla until I went there a couple times in the last three, 4 years and basically spent my entire days and nights eating deep dish pizza while I was there.
So. Yep. It's a little weird to eat what we call pizza in the Northeast with a fork and knife.
Yes.
But
where it is almost encouraged in some ways when you're in Chicago.
That is some quality stuff they got there.
For sure. And it's been a year of breaking records, and we're not talking about the virus. Another Guinness record has fallen, and this one combines two skills that are very difficult to master. An Indian man broke a record when he solved 6 Rubik's Cubes in 2.17 minutes while completely submerged underwater and holding his breath the entire time.
Jeez.
Yeah, the previous record of 5 Rubik's Cubes solved underwater in a single breath was set by an American in 2014. The new 25-year-old record holder who works in a school said he wanted to inspire his students to do more, especially during these challenging times.
Man.
Now, I mean,
there's a lot going on there.
There's a lot going on. Number one, I have never solved a Rubik's Cube on land.
No.
Breathing the entire time.
Right.
I've tried several times, and then more recent years, my kids have gotten them as presents, and I'm like, yeah, I'll try this again. Nope, can't solve the Rubik's Cube. That's number one. And then number two, holding your breath for over 2 minutes, way more difficult than you might think it is.
Mm.
I mean, just try that this summer in the pool. You know, you get about 30, 40 seconds in, and you start gasping for air.
So with the Rubik's Cube, I was one of those who was able to get one side.
Yeah, well, sure.
Yeah, that was the thing. I knew how to move the stuff around and get to one side, and then I put it down and started playing in dirt again.
Sure. We can all get one side, Gordon. Yeah. I'm pretty sure one of your dogs can probably get one side.
Yeah, you know how to get one side, Mike?
Yeah, we can all do one side. That's, we're not going to pop any champagne corks there.
Okay. Fine. Be that way. And when you're underwater, so you've got to hold your breath. You've got to concentrate on the Rubik's Cube also.
Right.
And I'm assuming you have to try to figure out how to keep yourself underwater. Or are you wearing a weighted belt of some kind?
Yeah.
Could require energy.
Yeah, I saw a video. I couldn't tell how he was staying underwater necessarily. But he did look pretty cool about it when he came up. He wasn't gasping for air when he came back up. So obviously he's been training for this for a little while.
So a 7th Rubik's Cube is on the table.
Perhaps.
I see that. Thank you, Mike. 13 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
As you get back to business, small things can make a big difference, like marking safe distances with floor tape and posting reminders to wash hands. As always, Grainger is here to help, offering supplies and solutions for every industry. Free access to product specialists, 24/7 support, safety recovery guides, and more. It's part of our commitment to help you adapt and recover in these challenging times. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, glad you're with us. Of all the coronavirus's qualities, perhaps the most surprising has been that seemingly healthy people can spread it to others. This trait has made the virus difficult to contain and continues to challenge efforts to identify and isolate infected people. But the New York Times says a new study in South Korea published today in JAMA Internal Medicine offers more definitive proof that people without symptoms carry just as much virus in their nose, throat, and lungs as those with symptoms, and for almost as long. Discussions about asymptomatic spread have been dogged by confusion about people who are pre-symptomatic, meaning they eventually become visibly ill, versus the truly asymptomatic who appear healthy throughout the course of their infection. The new study is among the first to clearly distinguish between
these two groups. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Rasa Kay.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
A crater stretching more than 700 feet is still smoking in Beirut 3 days after more than 2,700 tons of Russian-owned ammonium nitrate stored at the port for years blew up in a blast and shockwave that destroyed the city's port, nightlife district, and windows in every building for blocks. The death toll has climbed to at least 149 with more than 5,000 wounded. The U.S. military has sent three cargo planes to Lebanon filled with food, water, and medical supplies.
Number two.
The National Rifle Association has already countersued, claiming their free speech rights are being violated after New York's Attorney General Letitia James sued to disband the NRA's nonprofit status due to allegations of mass fraud.
The NRA diverted millions and millions of dollars away from its charitable mission for personal use by senior leadership.
Her suit and a separate lawsuit by the district attorney for Washington, D.C. claims executives spent NRA funds on lavish personal trips, no-show contracts for friends, and other questionable expenditures.
Number three.
Ohio Governor Mike DeWine is going to be tested again tomorrow after testing positive and then negative for COVID-19 in the same day.
You know, I feel fine. Have a headache.
DeWine took an antigen test as part of the protocol to meet President Trump on his visit to the state yesterday, which gives results in minutes. The generally more accurate but lab process test later in the day gave the opposite result. President Trump has signed an executive order requiring the government to buy essential medicines and medical supplies from U.S. companies instead of foreign countries such as China. The order removes some regulations and fast-tracks the review process on certain drug ingredients. Gilead Sciences says it can produce enough remdesivir to meet global demand due to the coronavirus pandemic in October and then ramp up for more than 2 million treatment courses of the antiviral by the end of the year, with several million more coming in 2021. There are now more senior female officials serving the Vatican than ever before. Pope Francis has appointed new members to the Vatican's Council for the Economy, six of them women. All of them have finance backgrounds.
About that. All right. Thank you, Rasa. It is 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Dell supports America's entrepreneurs during Small Business Month with all you need to office anywhere. Save up to 45% on computers and servers with Intel Core processors. Upgrade to new modern devices with Windows 10. Plus, save on top brand tech while enjoying free shipping on everything and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Call 877-ASK-DELL to talk to a Dell Technologies advisor who can help you find the tech that's just right. That's 877-ASK-DELL or visit dell.com/smallbusinessdeals.
Thanks for being with us. A California police officer returned to the scene of a crime this week, but not for further investigation. She came to help out two victims instead. Myra Valera, who's 27, and her three-year-old had lost their Fresno home in a Sunday night fire that police said was set by Ms. Valera's brother, who was trying to elude officers looking for him in connection with a robbery. Sergeant Stacy Zatmari, one of the officers who responded to the scene, told KFSN television that her heart went out to Ms. Valera. The officer responded by taking action. She gathered toiletries, clothes, and shoes for Ms. Valera and her family. Ms. Valera told the TV station that it was like Christmas Day. She said some stranger delivered everything you need for your family. Sergeant Zatmari also contacted the department's chaplaincy service to make sure the family had a place to stay overnight, then reached out to the Red Cross for help with longer-term shelter. A GoFundMe page has been set up for the Valera family, which aims to raise $15,000. That'll do it for this hour. For Rasa Kay, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit geico.com to learn more.